Adventist World Radio. From broadcast to baptism. Powered by SID Media.
Tonight, I am very excited to be speaking to our shapeshifter, Linda Chayadu Barra, the founder and director of Southern Africa Dialogue, which is a faith-based not-for-profit organization that seeks, among other things, to respond to the needs of women and children in difficult circumstances. She joins us to share her lessons that she learned throughout her journey and her career. Linda, do I have you on the line?
Yes, you do. How are you?
I am well, thank you, ma'am. How are you?
I am very, very well, thank you.
Linda, in isiZulu, uLinda means wait. And I know that a lot of people's lives resemble their names on so many levels. So I want to hear from you. Have you lived the kind of life where you've had to wait for everything?
Yes, I have.
Oh, no. Do you want to tell us about some things that have frustrated you so much because you had to wait for?
I think, you know what? I'm not almost six.
We're struggling to hear you there, but let's try again. Are you on?
Yes, I am.
Oh,
can you hear me loud and clear?
I absolutely love it. Let's go. So, yes, Linda, talk to us.
Yes, I've had to wait. Okay. I've had to wait for the fruition of my dreams. Mm. I think part of just growing in life, the journey of life will take you through things that you need to wait. I wanted so much to create like the birth of Southern Africa Dialogue was one thing that I had to wait for.
Yeah.
What was the wait on allowing the seasons in the growth of your dreams to come to fruition?
Yeah.
And I remember so many times where I things. And I think one of the things that I've learned is that you cannot accelerate the seasons of God.
Oh, you have to say that again.
The
we
good and ready.
What?
You cannot accelerate the seasons of God.
Ooh.
Things happen when they are good and ready. I've had to wait with my children. I had to wait for them to mature into being who I desperately wanted them to become soon. I wanted them to grow up very quickly.
And it wasn't happening. It wasn't happening for their own good.
For their own good. Ooh. But the thing is, they were not gonna be able to grow until they grew. And I think that is basically taught me so much to not to feel like I need to hurry life.
Ooh.
Because it's a gift.
Yeah.
I don't need to hurry life.
Yeah.
And I need to trust God that whatever it is where I am, I mean, obviously, we're going to have conversations with God to say, but, you know.
What do you mean?
Father God.
What have I done
you
wrong?
Know, you know, this is a bit too long.
Yeah.
But you know what I've loved is how God understands us. You know how it says that, I think it's Psalm 32, and it says he remembers that we are.
Oh.
And that sometimes in the waiting, I need to understand that I've got a God who also wants a relationship with me, and I can't fake the funk and act like it's okay when I'm now in a season when I'm saying, but I'm overdue. I've gone into 10 months.
Am I an elephant? Oh my.
So yes, I've had to wait.
But
I've
tell me,
had to
Linda,
wait.
so my sisters once said this jovially, and I think there was some truth in it, that sometimes the waiting tends to make you feel like you're God's stepchild. You know, the Cinderella that's cast to the side while the actual kids get what they want in the time that seems normal to all of us. So please tell us, Linda, how have you kept from feeling resentment in the waiting?
I actually haven't kept, okay, I haven't felt resentment, but I've often felt despair.
Of course.
Some friends of mine, I'm saying, you know, there are times when I wish I actually don't get up. The waiting is so long. But you know what I have been learning is when it's good to talk about and to be able to talk to God about what you're actually feeling. And I've done that. I'm like, you know, God, I'm now embarrassed. I'm embarrassed. I just need you to just cover. I don't know what you're teaching me. Tell me what you are teaching me. But I think I just needed break. You know, sis, those honest conversations have made me, have how can I say? The Holy Spirit has given me elasticity, emotional stamina, to because I am honest with God. Not always. Sometimes I just say, you know, God, you have. You are amazing, but that's not exactly what I'm feeling. But being able to tell that truth, I believe is each time I tell myself that truth and speak to, I feel such a sense of peace, and therefore I'm able to soldier on. And I think also, you know what, is having fellowship, and I think I'm really blessed by having believers who are practical and I don't know if you feel me.
I do. I do. I absolutely
You
do.
know, they don't say, you know, according to Acts 2:42, they
Yes.
tell you, I know exactly where that feels. You know what? I went through that
They
and
don't
I was
spiritually
angry
bypass
and I
you.
was like, I'm not talking to God. I'll just say, good morning, God. A people who are not afraid to be human in their walk with Christ has really been such a blessing for me.
It's actually called spiritual bypassing when people want to give you verses instead of being real with you about real experiences, whether they have gone through them or they're just seeing them for the first time with you. So I'm glad you've got those people in your corner who don't spiritually bypass you, because I think that makes it worse. It makes it worse
It
because you were
does.
already frustrated by the situation, but now you're just like, do you hear me? Do you actually understand what I'm saying? It's so much more frustrating. I totally get it. And last year I went through a harrowing experience. And let me tell you, the fellowship you're talking about, the perspective that God gives you when you just choose to be at his feet. Because at some point, you have nowhere else to go. You've really got nowhere else to go but to his feet. And when you're there, he doesn't say, oh, where did you think you'd end up? He embraces us. And he speaks to us as the loving father does to children. And the perspective
Oh,
is always
wow.
great. And at times, what he tells you in the moment, you don't even understand now, but you run with it and you realize along the journey, it's, oh, here's what God said that time. Oh, this is what it meant. But in that moment, it really becomes like fresh dew or manna when you need it to strengthen yourself. So I'm so glad to know that we are not the
So
only ones who are
true.
soldiering on. We are really all soldiering together.
We are normal.
Yeah, yeah. While you were talking to me about waiting, Linda, you mentioned that you have had to wait in the process of birthing your baby, the baby that we want to talk to you about today, Southern African Dialogue. Talk to us about that. Where did the idea come from? What is it? What do you seek to do? Why is it so important to you?
Actually, Southern Africa Dialogue wasn't really an idea. Okay. It was a response.
Ooh, keep talking.
And say, sometimes, you know, what happens in life is God. In fact, most of the time, what happens is God prepares you for things before you even begin to do them.
Yeah.
And my story had really been, I'm Mozambican, by the way.
Okay.
I'm of Mozambican descent. And since Linda means beautiful.
Okay, beautiful. We're listening.
My other name is Nyerezi. That's beautiful star. So my name means beautiful star.
Yes.
And my father gave me that name. Mm. And now my father was born to a farm laborer.
Okay.
And humble beginnings. Mm. But he had such a gifting and all the favor of God that because he was such a faithful and honest person, he was actually adopted by a Greek family.
Okay.
In a time where that wasn't actually possible to have that going on. And because of his faithfulness, when they wanted to leave the country, I'm telling you how this all connects to Southern Africa Dialogue.
Yes.
They basically offered him the business.
Okay.
And so and he grew that business from a small little thing to a chain of businesses with a few million dollars
from a farm
laborer's son.
Mm.
But he never forgot where he came from.
Yes.
I mean, being a daughter of somebody who when he was driving and people would line the streets to cheer him.
Oh, that is so heartwarming.
And it didn't make sense, but he was such a man of people. Our own house, we were so blessed, but he would bring people who would say, "What are these poor people doing?" Daddy, you know,
he was the community dad.
I was like, what's wrong with this guy? Why is he bringing all these dirty kids to our house? I didn't know. He never explained it.
Yes.
But he was always sharing. People will be coming to swim at our house and they'll be like, the pool water is now dirty.
Linda, no.
But you know what? He was training me to see the needs of others.
Oh.
And I was so blind to it until, you know what God does? He gives you the theoretical lesson, and then he gives you the practical lesson. Mm-hmm. And when I then started working, I didn't know why people's problems would bother me beyond the job. And I was a corporate high flyer.
Okay.
But I was worried about the person who wasn't happy, about the person who was struggling. Mm. And that is actually, it was something that was growing within me and I just didn't understand. And then HIV, when people started dying like flies, I just said, and the corporate world didn't want to talk about it. I said, I will do this. I will start talking to the young people. I will approach them myself and say, this is a place we can go out of the corporate space and we can talk about the issues and what is. That's actually how Southern Africa Dialogue was born.
Mm.
I wasn't thinking, Oh, great organization.
Yes.
It wasn't. I was just thinking, how do I help these kids? And before I knew, I had a few friends, and it has always been, we're not about big money. We've never been. We have been about how do we improve the life quality of people.
Yeah.
And I have, therefore I do it, whether there's money or not, I'll find the money to do it. When people don't want to do it, I'm saying this is my story between this burden for people.
Yeah.
I will do it whether there's 2 cents, whether there's 1 cent,
yep.
whether there's $30,000, whether there's $500,000, I will do the work.
Sure.
And because that's what Jesus did. And but it's a ministry.
True.
It's a ministry that ministers to the socioeconomic needs of people.
Of people.
And God has basically, he kept taking me through chapters to qualify me. So I know when I talk about economic trauma and helping somebody who is saying, you know, they're not in a good place, I get it.
Yeah.
I know what it is to be at that space where you're saying, I don't think I'm going to be able to pay fees for these kids. Like, this is, I know what it is like when the bank comes and says, this is your big banker.
Mm-hmm.
And they say, your business is not paying. We're calling up the land. Bam, they get that car.
Mm.
I know all those things. Okay, oh, no, she no longer lives in that area. She doesn't have that house anymore. And you know how people change clubs in church?
Mm-hmm.
You know all that stuff.
Ooh.
And the thing, oh, no, she no longer drives a Defender. You know, she's just like reeling in a funny thing. And we all do this. I understand. And God has given me the privilege of that human suffering so that when I work with people, I know what it feels like. I'm not telling them about theory. I know where to shop when you got $5. I'll tell you, yes, since you can feed those kids, let me tell you where you go. This is how you make $5, make it a week, because God has taught me that. So that's Southern Africa Dialogue.
Sure. You know what? I need to speak to my producer to say these conversations can't be 35 minutes long, because the things I want to ask you, the questions I have based on everything you've said right now. So I'll break it down bit by bit so we can cover everything. The first thing you said that gave me chills, that gave me goosebumps, was when I asked you, where did this idea come from? You said this was a response. You know, and I talk a lot about purpose, and I really believe that our purpose is a response. Similar to what happened with Moses, God said to him, listen, I have heard the cries of my people. Go and get them. They've been crying for 400 years. It is now time for them to be released. That was a response. And so I don't know. I don't know if people realize that while they are not doing their God-given assignment, there are some questions that are not being answered. There are lives that are missing something because the answers are with them, but they're just not taking them out to the world. So it is so great to hear you say, no. Don't think that I sat there and conjured up, what can I do? What is the next best thing? It was a response. And while we're on that, you are a corporate high flyer, making good money, living large. And then that tap on your shoulder comes. Linda, how are you able and comfortable to respond when what you're being thrust into will look like nothing or nothing like what you're experiencing now? How was that? How were you able to pick up and do the work and leave the life you knew behind?
Well, I actually don't know how, but if it says, who do I have on heaven on earth but you?
Oof.
I know that place. Know that place. You know, that was a season where I saw, I always talk about the miracle where we sat with my kids and things were so tight. We're looking at a teaspoon of tea leaves left in the house.
No.
Did you hear me, sis? And
among
you
how
are
many
driving
people?
This big car and people have got no clue.
Mm.
what is going down behind the closed doors. And just going to somebody, and this was our uncle, and I said, hey, Uncle Dave, I just need $5. And the way he laughed, and he says, you are the one who's supposed to give me money, because people just don't understand. It's just, it was inconceivable to even think that something like that was possible.
For you.
For me. But what we saw, I remember the day that and we wrote down all the things. It was a very long list, including all our standard important. I missed this.
Yes.
And we sat down. Then my son says, Mommy, I think there's, because our estate was quite big. Okay. And it's like, there's somebody at the top gate.
Oh,
I can hear a hoot. And I said, there's nothing. You're just thinking.
Okay.
Cut a long story short, came running back and says, oh, it's Uncle Dave. It's Uncle Dave. It's Uncle Dave.
Uncle Dave
came with his car open. There was a box from here to there.
Oh, my.
And he says, and he carried the box, got some help, put the boxes in the house and says, I love you. I am in a hurry. Left some money and went. And we ticked off every single thing that was on our prayer list. And I say, my God's got me.
Mm-mm.
You guys out there may be looking and saying she's down and low, but this is when I'm actually flying because I'm in my season of manna. And God knows what he needs to work outside of my system. But while I'm in my season of manna, he's going to take care of me. I don't know what tomorrow means, but what I know is there'll be something in the morning for me. So that's how I got through it.
Oh, you didn't tell me you're here to revive our faith. I just thought we're here to talk about your business, your company, not to revive our faith. This is so spectacular. And you know why it is, right? Because as you were speaking, I was thinking about the reason why a lot of people don't want to answer the call for their purpose or their mission. The reason why people are scared to make the leap or make the jump is because of exactly what you're saying. Imagine sitting with your children. You are supposed to be providing for them and you're looking at a teaspoon of what is the last thing you have in the house. And what do you say to them? What do you say to the people you're supposed to be feeding that, guys, I followed God and look at where we are, a teaspoonful of life. What do you say? And so people don't want to respond because they're thinking, signing up for what? I can't do that to myself. But
precisely.
What you're saying to us now is that response triggered God's response. Because you said, I surrender all. He said, then I've got you. You know what I normally say? I say, us having faith to God is like, you know, when you've got ants in your pants and you just don't know what to do with yourself. You're so edgy and you're just like, oh my goodness. That's how it feels. That's how I can imagine it feels for God. He's like, they trust who? They trust me. And so he cannot help but to just give and give and show off. And that's what he did. How are you sitting and you're saying, oh, we miss chocolate. We miss noodles. And the next thing you hear a knock with all of those things. A God who listens to that detail?
I always, when I have an opportunity to encourage and talk about God's faithfulness and when he puts something on your heart, how you need to go with it. Though it's scary business, though, because
very scary.
You get hit a lot of times. You get hit.
And talk to us about some of the beautiful things that have happened on this journey. You know, you've spoken about the challenges and I can imagine they are great. And if you feel like you haven't covered all of them, we can always discuss them after you've told me. What are some of the beautiful things that have happened on the journey for you, firstly, and for the children that you serve?
I think some of the beautiful things are, for me, beauty, it kind of means like how God has kind of just shown up.
Yes.
I think one of the areas where I got hit was when I went into labor.
Mm-hmm.
at 4 months old.
4 months.
Yes, I was
That's
four months pregnant.
premature.
I went into labor.
No, was
And
it the
the
stress?
doctors were like, there's no chance. There's
Ah,
absolutely no way this baby won't make it. But I'm gonna fight to keep this baby and let it grow in your tummy. And I was hospitalized for 3 months, going into labor every day.
No,
Oh, yes.
not the pain.
The pain.
Oh.
The saints would come and speak to me and say, this is dangerous. We're going to lose you. And
Yes.
I said, you are young. You're gonna have another baby. And I said, I want my baby.
Why were you
And I
holding
walked out
on?
of that hospital with that baby.
Linda, why were you holding on? What about that moment and that situation made you hold on? Because your own life was in danger.
It's what I believed God was able to do, in spite of what the doctors were saying. I stayed so God is like, where it just like doesn't happen for you anymore. I don't think so. I know you. I know that you will give me my baby, and I'm just gonna thank you that I'm walking out of this hospital with my baby. And I had him at 7 months.
Shoo.
And he was hardly 30 centimeters. He
Of course,
was
of
a tiny
course.
little, but he's almost a 6 foot giant with a big beard today.
I need us to talk about this baby man now. What significance
I
has
mean,
his life
when
had?
I look at him, that's the beautiful thing. In
Yes.
fact, both my babies were trouble pregnancies, which
Ooh.
were high risk.
Yeah.
But I look at each of them and I say, I see God's faithfulness every single day. When I look at them and I say, ah, this is what God does.
Yeah.
A beautiful thing in terms of it's the little boy who we took in into one of our programs. His mother got remarried, didn't have a place for him because she didn't want him to be an inconvenience in her marriage. Women, honestly, some of the things that we do. And we stood by him, helped him to get to school, where his friends. He became a doctor at the age of 16.
At 16,
Oh yes,
a
he
doctor.
was given an
You mean the
yes, a
discipline that
doctor
takes between 6 and 8 years to complete?
and yes, but I'm not talking. He's not a medical doctor. He
Oh,
was actually
PhD.
given an honorary doctorate for
Okay.
justice at the age of
Of
16, and I'm saying, isn't
16.
that a beautiful thing?
Yes.
To say, if we had just walked past this guy,
Yo.
and said, oh, there are so many kids who are suffering, and we didn't respond to his yearning, that testimony would not exist.
Never. Never.
It wouldn't exist.
Yeah. So
And
before we
and
move
also
to
the
you can go ahead. You can go ahead.
Also the many, I mean, I look at women who started with like $5, tears on there, saying, I can't send my babies to school, I can't. And now when I look and they own houses, they own a house of their own. I mean, for me, that's the beauty.
It's so amazing.
It's to seeing how when you walk with other people and you allow God to give you the solutions or to help them generate their own solutions, that they are not actually slaves to their situation. They can actually experience the manifestation of his own faithfulness in their own life.
Oh man, you're telling us such brilliant stories. Now I'm very curious. How do you facilitate this transformation? What do you actually do? what is the thing that changes people's lives like this? Do you have programs? Is it mentorship? What is it that you actually do?
Yes. I have basically what Southern Africa Dialogue has done, and I think it's what I've tried to do is to tap into all the experiences and the exposure that I have as a learning and development practitioner, okay, as a business development consultant, and the benefit that I've had to be mentored by people who know how to make money.
Yes.
And then to condense that into something that is much simpler that actually practically works for people's mm-hmm. lives. Mm-hmm. But I think for me, I mean, people have said to me, you're a motivational speaker. And mm-hmm. I said, no, I'm not. I'm a dream extractor.
God just
helps me to uproot the thing, to help you surface what's already in there. So I don't motivate you. I just put a hand and help you to bring out what God has already deposited. That's all I do.
Come through, beautiful star. Come through. Yes.
And that's the thing that God has always said, you know, people know what they want. They just need the courage. And when I work with people, I reach into their dreams so that they're not afraid to dream. Mm. And so don't worry about how. The how actually doesn't matter. Mm. Just focus on what you want. And let's now do the tiny little steps that we need to do and develop the habits that are required for you to get there.
Yeah.
That's what I do. I have problems. Yeah. I mean, for money, I try and get our work is to say, you know what, this thing that we call money is actually God's hands on earth. Mm. It's not ours. Mm. Get it and give it away. Mm. Leave an inheritance for your children and their grandchildren. But the rest of it, you need to make sure you're about your father's business and making sure you're practically responding to people. So I try very hard with our programs. We've got programs for families.
Okay.
We've got programs for young people. And one of the beautiful stories is when we take them through money programs, like their money camps, like they're 2 weeks long. And one of my favorite families is the kids. They came on the program. She was 11. The youngest was 11. The oldest was 13. Mm-hmm. They basically took over running the household budgets. And, you know, telling their parents, you can't afford to do this. No, we're not going for a holiday to England because you haven't paid fees. Okay. Why are you borrowing to go to when you haven't? So we're going to stay home and we're going to make burgers. Mm. And these are kids.
Yeah.
And these are kids who are learning not financial literacy, but money literacy, having a healthy relationship with money, understanding and being able to talk as families about money, because that's where a lot of the issues in development is our attitudes around money are not very healthy. We can't talk about it, and we are secretive about it, and we're protective, and we're selfish about it. Mm-hmm. And yet we don't know that you've just been entrusted with a bag that doesn't even belong to you.
Ooh.
It's God's money.
It's God's money.
So why are you clinging your identity to it? He's the one who gives us power to create wealth.
Yeah.
You don't have power to create wealth. So why are you attaching your identity to it?
Yeah. I think this is a beautiful segue into the last bits. We've only got a few minutes before we can bid each other farewell. But I think this is a beautiful segue into the money conversation, right? Because I really do want to understand your relationship with money. And so given that you believe money belongs to the Lord anyway, do you then have a sort of relationship with money? How do you approach money? How do you feel about it? How does money feel about you?
I love money.
Okay.
I love it.
Say more.
It's great. It's great. I mean, we are friends. You know, I kind of like really look for it to kind of start finding me.
Yeah.
I love money.
Yeah.
I love money because it helps us to be comfortable. It helps us to have choices.
Yes.
I love nice things. I like a big kitchen with a
Ooh.
beautiful, I love beautiful things. I
Ooh.
love nice cars. You know, Moses said to God, how would they know?
Ooh.
How would they know?
Go there.
And for me, this is a conversation we're still having, like, hey, God, you know, I'm kind of in, hey, I'm overdue, you know, take me back to that place.
Yes.
And and we, money is a beautiful thing, and we shouldn't think it's vulgar or it's evil. It's just our attitudes toward. And this is how, because you know, you carry somebody's answer. When you hear this, they didn't send their kids to school, and then you go and upgrade your Mercedes. Shame on you. Why did you had money to upgrade your Mercedes, but that upgrade was enough to pay school fees for somebody for a year. So how are we the church of God? How are we a fellowship of believers? So I believe money is for me. I say, watch what I'm doing with my money, and you can tell that God is no longer my priority.
Okay. I'm about to faint because you keep saying things that want to throw me out of this chair. Repeat that. The way you use your money shows how you prioritize God or that he's not a priority anymore.
Yeah, that is not a priority. That I have a new God. If I'm struggling and I'm saying, because I'm saying it's my money, why are they coming back to me and asking? No, I'm learning, sis, that a lot of times when somebody keeps knocking at your door, it's actually not their test. It's my test. It's my test. It's my test. The issue is not they're not organized. God sees how long. Will I, am I really a Samaritan? Or I'll say, Ish says, you know what? Ish, you know, I had a holiday to attend. You are disrupting my plans.
You know, what you're saying is resonating with me on so many levels because just last year I was having my own reflections on how I've used money in the past. And not that the ways I've used it have been reckless, but knowing that I've been using money that could have gone to doing more just and more meaningful works really to this day traumatizes me. But that's a story for another day. You said that you and money are friends. And we know that friendships, like any other relationship, there are some mistakes, you know, or some missteps. So what mistakes have you made around or with your little friend money?
Oh, some of my mistakes is because money, some of the worst mistakes I have made is not willing to be uncomfortable and disinvesting in things that I should have just stuck and said, I'm not as liquid right now, but you know what? It doesn't matter. I'm not as liquid, but I give it 4 more years and I won't even remember how uncomfortable I was. So those are some of the mistakes that I wasn't willing to also pay, do the time for the money to grow. And I wanted it all at once. I wanted the enjoyment and the luxury and everything. So those are some of the mistakes I've made. I also made some mistakes because, you know, when technically, because I'm a business development consultant, I'm helping other people's portfolios to grow. But you also need a consultant in your life because
You
you don't have
certainly do.
everything. We've got like blind spots, and I had huge blind spots. And I remember my father is now late, but got a dad, you know, and he said to me, I'd made a real wrong move. And he said, you can recover. You need to go and buy a property here so that you can ring fence your money and hedge your money against property. And I was like, oh, this old man, why would I be buying a place in the, you know, the arrogance that
Yes.
comes
Oh, because you know everything.
because I know everything. And I said, no, I'll wait for an opportunity. I'm sure I'll find a property on the option to buy. And my money, you know, this side of the world, inflation was a thing, and my money got consumed to nothing. And this old man who knew nothing actually knew everything.
and you lost everything to prove that he knew everything. The irony. The irony.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
so
man.
Those are some of the mistakes that I have made with money. And I've also made some crazy mistakes where I think, you know what we do as human beings, we have a problem of swinging to extremities, one end of the pendulum, then the other end. And when I was coming into my purpose, I was giving everything away.
Of course.
And I remember...
Mother Teresa, this is who you are.
Mother Teresa, yeah. And I remember my kids saying, oh, we would like, sometimes we also would like some shoes.
You know, mom.
We also like you be home on time and yeah. cook for us. Because
yeah.
you're always running and fixing everybody's problems except ours. So those are some of the lens that as much as we talk about this, and I'm always big on training, talking to people that we don't live for ourselves, but we shouldn't martyr our kids and give them a second-rate life because we want to do good.
Oh, man, that is so potent. That is just so powerful. Linda, I feel so jealous for everybody who does not have your number because I get to continue this conversation with you after this particular call. So I don't know, guys, you're gonna have to be strong. Maybe keep listening to the show. I'll share some more of Linda's nuggets, and I think this is going to be very difficult for you. It sounds like you are oozing with gems, but I have to ask you, you've got 1 minute. In this 1 minute, what is the one important thing you want to leave our listeners with? I know it's a challenge. Just give me one in 1 minute. Let's go.
reflect on the lessons that God is teaching you. Because those lessons have all the answers for the problems you are facing.
Oh, reflect. And a lot of us run from the reflection because it's uncomfortable. Because sometimes we'll have to sit in the silence or face the things we've done that we don't want to face.
Oh,
let's not even get started on that. I'll have to bring you back another time for us to unpack. Man, this has been so fantastic, beautiful star. You have just given us so many beautiful gems this evening, and I'm really grateful that you came through. Where can people find you? How do they connect with you? Beyond this, don't give them your number because that's for me, okay? That is mine.
sawadialogue@gmail.com.
Yes.
And we also have a handle. I have a YouTube channel called Critical Conversations.
Okay.
On, which you can also just look up. And that's how you can get hold of us. And we're on Instagram as well. So you can look for the same handle.
You,
Sour Dialogue. Yeah.
You are brilliant. Thank you so much for gracing us with your time and your
knowledge. Thank you for the privilege of sharing my life. I'm really honored.
I will hit you up after this, okay? So bye for everybody else, but hello. Our conversation is just starting between you and I. Thank you, Linda.
Thank you so much. A good evening.
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.